It is a day when we are finally released. We're singing about chains. When we're finally released from the shackles that bind us on this earth. When we're finally going to be released from sin and from death. Some of us may experience resurrection from the dead. In fact, all of us will experience resurrection from the dead. It's either we're going to be resurrected to life or we're going to be resurrected to punishment. One or the two. See, like I said, this isn't a very popular subject. It's a very serious subject. But as a pastor and as one that preaches the Word of God, we are to preach the full countenance of God. Everything that God preaches and teaches us, we are to preach and we are to teach. We are to proclaim loudly that which the Bible proclaims loudly and that which the Bible whispers we should whisper. The day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of judgment is something that is proclaimed rather loudly. So we preach it. Apostle Paul addresses the Thessalonians, like I said last week, about living in light of the day of the Lord. Well, last week I didn't talk about exactly the day of the Lord. Well, this week we talk about the day of the Lord. And specifically that the day of the Lord, God shows no partiality. There's no excuses. There's no, the dog ate my homework. There's no, well, I didn't know. Because Scripture proclaims very clearly that everyone will know. And on that day, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will be seen. He will not be missed. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 3 and verse 9, as a reminder, says this. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who will the day of the Lord, or the day of judgment, or the day of Christ be experienced by? The day of the Lord will be experienced by both the dead and the living. In fact, the dead will precede the living in being resurrected. Therefore, all the world will experience the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 17. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the word caught up is not secretive. It's public. It's public. It will be seen by the world. Who will the day of the Lord be experienced by? Christians. Christians will experience the day of the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved him. his appearing. All those who have believed in and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive an award on that day. James 5, 8 to 9. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So Christians will experience the day of the Lord. We will become before our judge. Angels will experience the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? Jude 6. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. So angels will be judged. They'll experience the day of the Lord. The world. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? The world will be judged by the saints, by believers, by followers of Christ. Hebrews 4:13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. To whom we must give an account. No person will be excused. Every person will stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account of their life, of the choices we've made, of the decisions we did, of how we treated people, of how we loved well or did not. We will all come before the Lord Jesus. Romans 2, 5 to 6. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. The day of wrath. The day of the Lord. The day of Christ. Righteous judgment and wrath will flow. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. When Paul mentions first for the Jew and for the Greek, he's meaning the Jew and the Gentile, all people. The wicked, the righteous, unrighteous, the ungodly, and enemies and persecutors of Christians will be judged and held to account. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed because their testimony to you was believed. This today is not per se a preaching sermon. This is a teaching sermon. There's not going to be a whole lot of application other than, do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you follow Jesus? Because the opportunity has been given. The word has been spoken. His word has been shared. His love has been apparent. He gives every person an opportunity to come to him, to know him. It's whether or not we choose to know him, to accept him, to accept his gift of love, of what he did on the cross for us, of how he made a way back to God, and not to remain under wrath. The wrath that will come due at the day of the Lord, that will be sudden. It will be unexpected by those who do not know God, who do not know Jesus. Do we know Jesus? There will be no partiality by God and no excuse accepted by God as to why one refuses to believe or follow Jesus on that day when he returns to judge all persons living and dead. Romans 1:18. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. People are without excuse. I didn't know that there was a God. I was unaware. Well, you can't walk outside and be unaware. Why does a tree look like a tree? Why does every person look alike? It's by chance that everybody looks alike. Everybody has an eye, and the eye is the same and designed the same way. Why isn't there just a random chance? If the universe was created by chance, how come there isn't chance all along? There's been debates for years about intelligent design. That, you know, it doesn't work. Really? Because there seems to be a lot of intelligent design behind how we've been created, or how blood clots, the human body, the eye. God says he has revealed himself. And you only need to look and get away from your own self, your own ideas, to willingly look and see and perceive. Our job is to point out the evidence of God and share the witness and love of Jesus, so people do not experience the wrath of God. That's our job as believers and followers of Christ, is to point out the evidence, to share the witness and the love of Jesus. Do we want our friends, our family, people we work with, the next door neighbor, to suffer wrath? We are to reveal the truth which Satan attempts and is attempting to suppress. When will the day of the Lord arrive? That was the question of the day with the Thessalonians, because they thought they had missed it, because they had people that died. But okay, Paul, when will the day of the Lord arrive? And Paul says, I've already told you that. I've already discussed this. But Paul in 2 Thessalonians, his second letter to the Thessalonians, because that question just will not leave. His answer has just stirred up more question, and so he addresses it in 2 Thessalonians. When will the day of the Lord arrive? After the rebellion and the man of lawlessness is revealed, he says. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So when will the day of the Lord arrive? At some time after the rebellion, the apostasy, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Well, what's the rebellion? This sounds like Star Wars. You know? I like Star Wars. You guys can laugh. I like Star Wars. I like Darth Vader. If you go into my office, you'll see Darth Vader everywhere. You go, aren't you on the wrong side? Darth Vader is the greatest story of redemption in movie history. Because he started out good and went to the bad side, and then he was redeemed when he saved Luke. There, a brief history on Star Wars. Redemption, right? Redemption. What is the rebellion or the apostasy? The rebellion or apostasy is the Greek word apostasia. Like I said, I can't pronounce Greek that well. Apostasia. And it means to depart, a falling away, to forsake, a defection from the truth. The apostasy of man will be the falling away or defection from the ways and the truth of the Lord. Matthew 24, 37 through 38. As we are seeing today, the truth of God is being perverted in his creation. Men are women and women are men. Male and female are no longer the only genders, but how you identify is more important than your equipment. Marriage is no longer God's creation and domain, but man's perversion. But the biggest rebellion, apostasy, is the pursuit of man's glory, man's selfishness. There is no God except man. It's the oldest lie revealed in the book of God. Man will deny the truth of God, the love of God, and the ways of God. Matthew 24, 37 through 38. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. They had no clue. They would come by and visit Noah and see Noah building a big boat. Probably joke with him and going, Noah, why are you building a boat? You're not even anywhere near water. But man was evil. All man thought about was evil and his own things and his own way and his own selfishness. And Jesus says that the coming day of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. Do we see that today? Do we experience that today? Very much so. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Professors of God will and are plenty, but followers of Christ will be few. Professors of God will and are plenty, but followers of Christ will be few. If you ask for my notes, like Pat will ask for my notes, she will see the word professors. It's not doctors. It's a new word that I created called professors with an E. My spell check was not happy with me, but I thought it works well. So it's in my dictionary, it might not be in yours. But professors of God will and are plenty, but followers of Christ will be few. This is the apostasy of which Paul speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-4. And this is of which Timothy affirms in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. Teachings of demons, deceitful spirits, and the hypocrisy of liars. Professors of God, of Christ, will be plenty, but followers of Christ will be few. The great defection from the ways and truth of God. When the tribulation comes and persecution costs the church of Christ, who will stand with Christ? Will we love this life more than the promise of the life to come with Christ? Will we lose our life for Christ? The enemy's counting that we will not. He's counting that we will love this life more than the life to come. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jeopardy question, who said that? Jesus. You will find your life when you lose it for Christ, for his work and for his will. You will lose your life doing the opposite. Mere professors of Christ will turn away from Christ when their lives will be at stake. They will deny knowing Jesus or following him when persecution of the church comes. Much like Peter did when he was confronted with the truth that he was a follower of Christ. And Peter in fear did what? He denied Christ three times. He said, I do not know the man. Many will come in the name of the Messiah, false prophets, false professors of Christ, and will lead many to fall away. The great apostasy, the rebellion. Matthew 24:9-10. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. The final rebellion will be the denial of Christ, the denial of his church, the denial of knowing and associated with his followers. This is the apostasy of which Paul speaks to the Thessalonians. But those who endure and stand faithful will be saved by Christ. Amen. So then, who is this man of lawlessness? 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness, or the man of sin, is revealed, the son of destruction. After the first final rebellion begins, it will culminate in the revealing of the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, or the Antichrist. How will one recognize the man of lawlessness? Well, the Bible says he will exalt himself against every so-called God and object of worship. Not just Christianity, not just Jesus, not just the Holy Spirit, but he will exalt himself above Islam, Mormonism, Scientism, atheism, Catholicism, and Christianity. Whatever religion you can think of, whatever anybody worships, he will exalt himself above such a thing. And he will proclaim himself God. And then he will do one thing more. Specific thing more, so that we can know who this man is. He will take the temple. He will take the throne in the temple of God in Jerusalem and sit upon it. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. He will speak against God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He will blaspheme. He shall also oppress or wear out or wear down the followers of Christ. But note this. The word oppress is to wear down, to wear out the followers of Christ. But it does not say defeat. He will not defeat the followers of Christ. Because an authentic follower of Christ cannot be defeated by Antichrist, by Satan, or by his angels. Amen? Daniel 3:17 to 18 says this, "If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, O king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Who said this? That's right. Meshach? Horshach? No. The three amigos, I like to call them. "We will not bow down, O king. Even if you throw us into the fire, we will not bow down. We will not worship you." The authentic follower of Christ will do the same on that day. Jesus said in John 10:28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Amen? No one will snatch you out of Jesus' hand. No one. The man of lawlessness will also attempt to change religious festivals and laws or times. Specifically the feast times, because the feasts of the Lord are how we know who Jesus is, when he is coming, and how he is coming. He wants to change the calendar. He wants to change so that we will not be aware of the times and the seasons. He wants to change things so that we will not worship God or give him praise. The spirit of lawlessness is already at work in the world. Christmas to winter solstice or to Santa. Passover to Easter and bunnies. But more significantly in Christendom, within Christianity, progressive Christianity, denying Jesus as divine and dying on the cross, or denying the infallibility, inspiration, and illumination of the Bible and Jesus' resurrection. Daniel 7:25, "He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half time." Revelation 13:5-6. "A mouth was given to him to speak boasts and blasphemies. He was also given authority to act for 42 months. He began to speak blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his dwelling, those who dwell in heaven." Out of those two verses, your hearing may have picked up the times and times and times a half. Or 42 months, we refer to that famously as the tribulation. We'll talk about that at some time later. The man of lawlessness is a liar and will promote deceit. Daniel 8:25. of which we see being most prolific today in our government, in our ruling authorities, not to mention in our public. Since whenever was there a white race, a black race, a yellow race, and a brown race? Are we not all created in God's image as the human race? We are the human race with different ethnicities, but we are one race. Social justice is not biblical justice, just as Mormonism is not Christianity, and Joseph Smith is not a prophet of God. What does Baal have in common with God? Nothing. Just as does Muhammad and Islam have in common with Jesus, Jerusalem, Jews, and Christians? Nothing. What does Jesus say? In the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 24:12. Why? Because lawlessness will rule and begin to rule. This is how we recognize the last days and the man of lawlessness to come and his spirit before us. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So the question is, how is my heart? How is my love? Like Paul encourages the Thessalonians, we must encourage one another to continue loving one another. That's how we will get through this time. To not love is to give in to the spirit of Antichrist, to succumb to his influence for the days ahead. A good reminder to see how well you're loving is something that I fail at. Driving on the number two. Some of you are good drivers. Some of us are bad drivers. That's where I lose it. But Jesus says love. Love. That's how we get through this time, is by loving well. Loving our neighbor, loving God, and loving ourselves as Jesus loved us. Satan hates love. He likes lust, but he hates love. He hates it when we truly, authentically love one another. And that is what is at the base of community, is that we love as Jesus loved us. That's how a church remains strong. That's how a church becomes strong, is that we love one another as Jesus loves us. Amen? Amen? Amen. How is my heart? How is my love? Encourage one another to continue loving well. What will be the basis of judgment on the day of the Lord? Jesus on the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day of wrath, the day of Christ, he will judge and be judge. Matthew 25:31-33. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on the left. The sheep will go to glory in eternity with him. Goats will go on to the left with punishment, everlasting punishment. God delegates his authority to Jesus because he was born, lived, and died as the Son of Man. He totally identified with us and knows us. So then who better to judge us? John 5:22-27. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. And like I said, incidentally, the saints, followers, believers of Christ, will also share in judging. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, I assure you, in the Messianic age, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 1 Corinthians 6, 2-3. Or don't you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest cases? Don't you know that we will judge angels, not to mention ordinary matters? Revelation 24. Then I saw thrones and people seated on them who were given authority to judge. I also saw the people who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of God's word, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not accepted the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. The judgment of all persons will face will be based on our earthly lives. How we lived, how we acted, how we thought, how we loved, how we believed. Specifically, those who profess to be Christ followers. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Those who have followed Christ will be resurrected to eternal life with Christ. Those who have professed falsely or rejected God, his Son, and his word, to eternal punishment. John 5:29. And come out, those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Are we a professor or are we a follower? John 12:48. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The thing about the day of the Lord is that we come before God and everyone is known. Everybody and their status will be made public before the Lord. It's not that God doesn't know our status. He knows that very well. But our status will be made public. The day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly to those who do not know Christ. To those of us who do know Christ, we look expectantly to this coming day. It will be a day of final restitution, correction, and justice. The afflicted and persecuted and oppressed will be rewarded. The afflictors, persecutors, and oppressors will finally be held to justice, God's justice. There will be no partiality, no favors, no excuses accepted. You either know, believe, and follow Christ into life or have rejected him and his ways into eternal punishment. There will be no middle ground. Justice will finally be served. As Peter encouraged the disciples, we are encouraged by Christ. Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge, to be judge of the living and the dead. Amen.